What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
Yeah. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Bricklayers in ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know. One stop like a Walmart. We got the tennis balls for the wrong sport. If you know, you know. If you know about the carport, them trap doors supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, do? Welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast, live here on Twitter Spaces. And we here, man. Today's episode, we will be recapping this past Saturday scrimmage, inner squad scrimmage for the UVA Cavaliers. The Tony Elliott era has begun, fall camp vibe. It was fun being at Scott Stadium, just seeing all the former alum. I said former alum. That's what alum means, former players. Just being in attendance, the DJ there, and I give you my thoughts on just the atmosphere as we break down what took place. Before we get started, salute to the sponsors. Go to aberinsurance.net for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance, the great people at Able. Go in there, get you an affordable policy, and tell them the Ball Hawk sent you, and it would definitely take care of you. Also, Alcova Mortgage Highlands. Go to AlcovaHighlands.com for all your loan needs, man. Definitely check them out. If you're looking to buy or refinance your home, put Alcova Mortgage in the game. Visit AlcovaHighlands.com for info. That's AlcovaHighlands.com for info. Holler at them. Buy, refinance your home. Tell them the Ball Hawk sent you at Alcova Mortgage. So that's the sponsors for the show. I'm going to let Ron kick it off with his question. So what you got, Ron?
Okay, so my question's got to be with that word you like to talk about, accountability. So you were there for the scrimmages and you were there for yesterday's. And for the coaches to come out and say, okay, our offense stunk today and we're going to hold them accountable. Is that like that across the board with all the coaches, or is it just something that just picked up yesterday?
Now, since this staff has been here, they hold guys accountable. They're not afraid to challenge them in front of other peers. They set that precedent from day one. If you can remember, Coach Elliott in the spring challenged Dontavian Wicks.
Yeah.
You know, just to be more consistent. They've been challenging Mike Hollins to just be more consistent. They challenged Dontavian to take that next step, and they want Hollins to be more consistent. So, it's one of the things where it's coming from a place of love. And anybody that's been around coaches, when they do that from the first day, they're showing you that they'll break you down to build a more solid foundation and build from that.
It was just everything's been, has been like really positive coming out until yesterday or today or whatever, to come out about yesterday when they brought the offense and said, y'all ain't going anywhere. Y'all are staying for an extra whatever, however long you did, and said, y'all stunk today. And then they didn't hide it from nobody. I mean, they just let it out there.
Yeah.
And that really,
I mean,
that actually impressed me. I like that direction instead of just thinking that everything's perfect all the time.
Yeah. You can't. So here's why you can do that. If you coach Elliott and that coaching staff, when it's geared towards even the defense, but the offense, you got a veteran leader and Brendan Armstrong. So we got that veteran leadership. That guy's going to take that challenge, and it'll trickle down from each position group. So if you have leaders in place, you can do something like that. If no leaders are there, you playing with fire, because it can be a detriment because they don't know how to handle that type of coach talk is what I call it, coach talk, to where they chewing you out, not just in the confines of the film room or the locker room or a huddle anymore. Like, they putting you on blast, and now you see they really mean business in a sense. So, you know, that's a good thing, because the offense is looked at as the strength. So if he's challenging the strength of the team, then that lets you know Yeah, nobody's safe. You do your job every day. And don't get complacent either, because when I break down the scrimmage, you can see that how the offense started, the tape was turned as more plays started taking place. You saw the defense started churning up, started making plays, and he even challenged the offense and held them accountable at the end of that scrimmage, just letting them know, like, look, this is like a game. You may start out on a nice run and really taking it to a team. They can go into halftime. They could adjust. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say all that, but in my mind, that's what I'm thinking about. Like, teams make adjustments. People take your best shot. What you going to do when they get up off the canvas and they start biting down and they really start digging at you? You know, if you watch any of these, like, UFC, boxing, a lot of times somebody may start out fast, and that dude that start out fast, they get taken into deep waters because they exerted so much energy thinking they was going to get a quick knockout or it was going to be an easy fight, that guy that went down early started making adjustments. And that's what he's all about. Like, what happens when somebody adjusts to what we've been doing? If you look at last season, in the first half, preferably the second quarter, we came out with our knockout shots all the time. We jumped out on you. And if you responded, we ain't had no response to your response. BYU, UNC, Wake Forest, we tried to mount a comeback. You know, Pitt, every time we made a comeback, they slowed it down and took us into deep waters. It's all about responding to the response, because that's like, well, football is a game of adjustments. Look at my dog BJ up here. It's a game of adjustments. I always tell folks, how are you going to counter when they counter your counter? If you understand what I'm saying. I know that's a lot, but how are you going to counter once they counter your counter? And that's what adjustment is. Every coach has an adjustment, but it's not up to the coaches all the time. Like, the coach could put the adjustment out there, but can you execute that adjustment and make that coach look good? Because at the end of the day, man, a player make coaches look good. I could put you in position, but if you don't execute, I'm looking like I don't know what I'm doing, right? Like, you ain't getting the best out of them. So, appreciate that question.
Go ahead. Well, only other question I got is what is your impressions of being the big question in the room, I guess, is how's the offensive line looking?
It's early. Those guys still have to build that continuity, understanding what each individual does well and what's the weakness of each individual. Like, on offensive line, it's not all about, like, oh, can you do this? Like, if it's no different than, I can only speak for him as a DB or receiver, mainly a DB. Like, majority of the time, when I'm playing corner, my safety understands what I can do well and what I struggle at. So depending on the coverage, he already know, all right, if we play in zone, Hulk has a tendency of doing A, so let me make sure I watch out for B. So it's no different than the offensive line. If I know I got a tandem block, I know he's strong in this area, so I got to hold the point because he's weak right here. Or when Brandon's dropping back, he understands which lineman has a tendency of struggling with a speed rush, so I got to know I got to climb the ladder. Or if that guard can't take a linebacker bullying him, well, if I see a backer firing off, I'm peeking. I'm like, uh-oh, he's firing off the guy that can't adjust with that, so he adjusts to it. And that's what that continuity is. It's just all about those guys being on the same page, executing what they can, and then as a teammate, you playing off each other. So the thing about the offensive line, which is different than skill positions, is that you don't know until them live bullets start flying. 2019, we was picked to win the Coastal. Everything was great. Y'all remember that pick game? We played musical chairs. We had guys playing going from right guard to left tackle, from left tackle to right tackle. This is doing a game, trying to find how they would be a stronger cohesive unit. Yeah, that happened during a game, man. So Coach 2J is a guy that's he's a coach that can develop talent. He can develop it. Like, he get out the mud type of guy. He don't need you to be this 4-5 star highly rated guy. He's gonna get the best out of you. The best you. So I don't know how good the offensive line could be right now. What I can say, at the beginning of the game, they was moving the line of scrimmage because we was getting some explosive runs. Like, it was some gaps being opened up for the backs. Like, Mike Holland, he was getting it. So I like what I saw from them and that standpoint. And then with Brendan, so Brendan's so smart that he'll get the ball out quick. Not saying that you know, it don't matter how offensive line look because Brennan just get the ball away, but he can cover up a lot of deficiencies because he'll understand route adjustments and things like that. Guys who are triggering. Now, Mike Glennon, salute to Mike Glennon. I think he did a great job yesterday on Twitter just breaking down different plays of just really praising B.A.'s cerebral approach because he's looked at as a rough and rugged type quarterback, right? Everybody think, oh, B.A. just playing sandlock. It's a gimmick offense. He getting all these yards and because the defense so bad and it's garbage time. Nah, B.A. legit. And when Glennon broke down when Georgia Tech triggered from the corner and he knew by how the safety was creeping to the near hash and getting outside the hash, which you usually don't see, he pointed right at Wicks and said, yo, it's a cat blitz. He coming. Check that. I got you. And you saw what happened. Great throw. Wicks made a great move on the safety. It was a touchdown. Like Glennon said, we didn't see any more cat blitzes anymore. So hopefully that answered your question. Probably didn't. I probably went 50 cent on you and kind of dodged around the question. But hope you got the gist of, I really don't know about the O-line just yet. So appreciate that, Ron. What up, BJC in the house? How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm good, man. Just finishing up dinner.
Oh, I appreciate you tapping in doing dinner. Salute to the fam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and we'll go to the scrimmage. So, like I said, the scrimmage started out very promising for the offense. First play of the game, we had a nice, you know, like misdirection play based off our zone scheme or counter scheme, which, you know, I ain't going to tell you which one. But got a first down on the first play, then got a explosive play from Mike Hollins in the run game, which was very encouraging. I will say this. I knew B.A. would be sharp, but he's really grasped this offense fairly quickly from the outside looking in. Again, I'm not in the film room understanding how he's being graded and critiqued, but he's super comfortable. The receivers look comfortable as far as lining up. There's no miscues and having to burn the timeout or Coach Hagan screaming, oh, you're on the wrong side, or tighten up your split. Like, guys understand where to go. So that's a testament to those guys putting in the work in the film room and in the notebook or slash iPad, because now they use iPads for everything. But the offense looked very sharp for the first team. The first team offense looked sharp versus the first team defense. When the second team came in, Russell 2.0 was full go. He wasn't in no orange jersey. They was hitting Jay, and Jay won't having it. Man, Jay is electric. I'm going to tell you, that's why I call him Russell Wilson 2.0. Jay is electric. I'm telling you, man. He can go. I like Jay a lot. That's all I got to say about him. A couple of times they couldn't see the ball because he was throwing so hard, too. You know, they won't. And that's the thing about scrimmages. It's a ability. It's the opportunity to play at game speed, to finish at game speed, to respond to game like situations. And what I saw was when that boy finally let that fastball out, they wasn't ready the first couple of throws. No, no, no. He was like Aaron Brooks out there letting that fastball fly. Good Lord. Hey, Jay, come on, man. Take a little bit off the heater. I know he broke a couple of thumbs his first couple of throws. He went back to the huddle talking about the ball is hot. You know when your grandma tell you don't put your hand on the stove because it's hot, and you finally did it, you like, hot. Big mama, hot. Yeah, that's how the ball was coming out of Jay's hand. So,
that's what worries me about the end of this school year is he's going to have to make a decision.
Why is that?
Because he's already been looked at by MLB. I mean, they've already got him on. He's on the radar already.
I mean, we see other top quarterbacks do both.
I know, but like I said, he's so negative.
Why are we being so negative? Why we do that?
No, it's not negative. I wish nothing but the best for the kid.
No, you trying to make him make a decision, Ron? Nah, that's being negative.
No, I don't.
Come on, Ron.
I wish he could. He's gonna be Dion. He's gonna pitch and then go play football.
You remember Famous Jameis? He was pitching and then coming back being And I ain't saying he Jameis Winston, like we know we ain't eating no dubs and doing all the crab legs, but what I'm saying is,
we're not getting the free lobsters.
Yeah. What I'm saying is it's possible to do both. What's his name for the Cardinals, their quarterback? Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. They made him make a decision. That's why he ended up going to Wisconsin. But you know, we've seen quarterbacks do it, but yeah, you may. I mean, that is a concern. We can't be naive, but I feel like with him being second on the depth chart, I think that's one of the things where he'll keep that open. And if I'm not mistaken, they let you flirt around with the minor leagues and stuff and still play college ball, right? Don't they do that? If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong.
They can play. They can play in the amateur leagues. It's non revenue.
Now they could get paid. Baseball, you could get that money. Yeah. Wow. You could get a little change, a little Skrilla from the MLB. I don't think they ever tripped about the Skrilla from the MLB. Skrilla mean money for folks that don't know, just me playing around. But what else did I see offensively? Oh, Lavelle Davis is a huge human being now. Yeah. He don't got Deontay Wilder legs no more. He got real legs now. Okay. That's a big dude. If I'm not mistaken, not Taj. What's the EJ Manuel even pointed that out, that Lavelle is a big human being. Lavelle Davis is 100% back, and he's faster, he's stronger, and he nastier. Like, he mean, not mean in a bad way. Like, you gotta watch his temper, and he could be a detriment. I'm talking about mean as in when the ball in the air is mine, I'm going to get it. Like what I saw from him, Billy Kemp. He's getting back in the mix. We know he had the surgery in the offseason. It was good to see him out there full go. Keaton making plays, getting in the end zone. Keaton just a football player, man, the ultimate football player. Offensively, he could just do anything you want him to do. Receiver, we pretty much got a great group. Got a great group of receivers, and that's a testament to Coach Higgins. Malachi, as you know, missing the fall with an injury. He was doing really well before that injury took place. Running backs, though, I do want to say I like Cody Brown. Cody Brown run behind his pads. They got him listening at 227. He's probably about 235 with all his equipment on. He run hard. He get behind his pads. You got to make a business decision hitting zero. You just ain't coming in there. He gonna maul you. Speaking of maul, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I saw Cohen King make a couple hits. Goodness gracious. Whew.
Cohen King is an underrated beast.
That dude, let's let him play downhill. Last year, we was making him, like last year, we kept putting him on all these slot receivers, man-to-man, no help, at 3 yards, what we call no man's land. I didn't like that. He don't have the physical skill sets to be running with these Addisons and all these receivers. So when folks say, oh, Cohen King's getting killed. Yeah, he got killed by Addison, who killed everybody. Everybody. Name a DB he didn't kill last year. You know? Don't get me started on the Virginia Tech touchdown. Cause that was just on the scheme. That's what I want to get to. I'm gonna just go right to the DB. That's the one thing I wanna say. Salute to Coach Cox. Salute to him for having the DBs playing on a string, on the same accord. That's the first thing I saw with the DBs. Communication and playing on a string. Everybody understanding where they need to be, playing confidently, but playing physical and fast. That's a lot of ifs and buts, but DBs play as best as I've seen them since 2019 as a unit. Yeah, since Bryce was here healthy. That's the best I've seen.
So, Ball Hawk, talk to us a little bit, because for most of us, we don't have the access that you do to the team. And the last image we have of the defensive side of the ball is what we saw last year, which was not good.
Yeah,
so what improvements have you seen that can give us a little bit of optimism that the product on the defensive side of the ball will be better this year from last year?
Okay, that's a great question, BJ. If you're just tuning in, make sure you share the space so all the Wahoos can get in here live and ask their questions. So, the first thing is just their mentality compared to the past two seasons, all right? No guys are really playing tentative because they understand what they are supposed to do and what's asked of them. Like, we don't have a bunch of guys playing out of position. This year, we're not trying to learn the scheme and play fast. So this year, we got a 3-4 scheme, but it's always a four-man front. One of the backers are always up, setting the edge, right? Hold on, my bad. My dog over here causing the fuss. So with the defense, alignment and assignment is a whole lot better. Just the way that we're aligned, we're not getting outflanked by formations, the things of that nature. And again, it's still early because we're going against our offense. And anybody that's played organized sports understands that the more you practice against your offense, your defense, you'll start figuring them out. You know what I'm saying? But this is why I like the inner squad scrimmage, because this was the first time plays weren't scripted. It wasn't, all right, we playing cover four, so y'all run these type of route combinations so we could both get looks. It's like, no, I'm trying to beat you. You trying to beat me. I'm a blitz, blah, blah, blah. But defensively, we ran to the football quick, fast, in a hurry. We tackled very well. If we did miss a tackle, it was one of those ones where the running back just ran through you. Like, if you came in there with an arm tackle, he took your arm. If you came in there with your head down, he made a cut or something. It wasn't one of the ones like, God dang, how you missed that tackle? I didn't have none of those. It was a lot of those passes like, how you missed that? Y'all remember those games like, how he missed that tackle? You can't miss that. But defensively, the front, the guys up front, whether it's Fumui, whether it's the Juggernaut, whether it's Chico on the edge, Smiley, like those guys play with their hands. They fire off the ball. I will say that. A defensive line coach got those guys firing off the ball, playing with their hands, being more violent versus being Velcro. Last year, we were Velcro. Offensive line to come to us, we'll try to absorb them, and then they just take us wherever they want to take. Like, it was almost like we was going on a date. You know, you want to go out there? Okay, I'm going to take you out there. You had a couple guys doing things on their own, but as a collective unit, they understood the gaps that they had to maintain. And if they were getting pushed out of their gap, they would fall and cause a pile, which that's what you should do, because when as a defender, when you see a pile, it causes you to either chop your feet or you got to make a sudden decision. It slows up your process. So defensively, that's what I do like Coach Rude and what they're doing, but I like what Coach Cox – I'm a DB, so I mostly look at defensive back. I like what Coach Cox is doing with those DBs. Like, they're playing well. I think AJ's a pro. But in the, as far as the safeties, how they playing, the fifth defensive back, whether it's Bratton, who else was may have been the fifth defensive back? Aiden Ryan. I like Aiden Ryan. I think he's having a good camp too. But they just schematically – and how to respond to things. Case in point, it was a trips. And when guys came up to press, they weren't dancing with the receiver. As soon as the receiver danced, they were shooting the hand. They were trying to dictate the release that the receiver should take. In years past, we were either mirroring guys, meaning when they moved to the right, we moved with them versus attacking them. Or if the DB, if the receiver just went up the field, we would open the gate. And a lot of guys who listen to my podcast, open the gate meaning you just take your foot that you want to get behind you and you put it right behind you versus putting your foot at an angle, causing like some type of friction to where the receiver has to bow out and what we call run the hump. And then you cut them off at an angle and you meet them up at a point. These guys are doing that. They're shuffling when a receiver declares. So most of the time you're playing at the line of scrimmage, and receiver starts to shake and bake. You don't give ground, you step to them. So if I get high and I'm trying to shake you, like I'm trying to juke you, a lot of guys who are unsure of themselves are back up. Well, you're giving him space now to plant and come under you. But if you're confident in yourself, as soon as they raise, first of all, as soon as he raises up, like offensive lineman, my shoulders pop up, I'm about to put these paws on you. So as soon as some of our receivers were trying to give you a little shake and bake, our DBs actually stepping towards the receivers and trying to get hands on them. And then as soon as they would transition from square to running with the receivers, they would shuffle first, making the receiver take a lateral movement versus getting vertical. That way, that's another second that your defensive line has to run their games and get to the quarterback. So hopefully y'all understand all that I'm saying. Hopefully that won't too much. Go ahead, Love. What's good with you, man?
What's up, Hawk?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. You?
I'm great, man. Appreciate you.
No problem. I just want to throw in a quick question and switch it back to the offense real quick. I didn't hear you mention talk about the running back room, and when I'm reading any reports, I don't see Ahmad Fawcett's name pop up very much. Is he hurt? Do you know, have any inside information on him?
Hey, Hawk, before we get to that, we had a DM come in before that.
Okay.
And then we'll get to Love the Who's question, and then we have a chat question. So the question that came in DM was still on the defensive side of the ball. In the ACC specifically, what offensive scheme do you think presents the most problems for our defense from an ACC team that's on our schedule?
Let's see. We play Louisville, UNC.
My vote would be Miami.
As far as the weapons, Miami. Yeah. They still run stretch zone, and they use play action off of it. TVD has improved a lot. They got speed on the outside. Yeah, I would say Miami. Of course, Louisville, just because of Malik and all he brings to the table. And they probably got the fastest receiver in the Dagon country in Harrell. That kid could fly. Good gracious.
Follow-up question, because you mentioned Malik. Do you think our defense has an advantage in going against BA every single day at practice, defending an offense in a quarterback like Malik?
I say no, just because he's not live. So in the scrimmage, it was an inside zone, and when I looked at it, BA wasn't live, but I was just like, even if he was live, you wouldn't have made – I was like, I defend him, wouldn't have made that tackle. Like, BA would have beat him. So as a defender, you don't really know if you can really make a play because you can't really thud him, you know? And that's the issue we ran into collectively as a defense, because we wasn't doing a lot of thudding in practice during the week. So you saw it trickle down into the games because your muscle memory was you won't fire your gun, as we used to call it in the old school ways. Shoot your gun.
Hey, Love the Who's. Real quick, could you come back and ask that question? And then we have a question in the chat.
Yeah, he asked about Ahmad Fawcett and his availability, because the highlights they show, you didn't see anything with Ahmad. He's been there. So Perry, PJ2 is having a phenomenal camp. So anytime you hear that he should be the starter, I wanna frame it this way. It's not a knock on Mike. That's praising PJ. PJ is having a hell of a camp, bro. Like, good gosh. I'm telling you, that little joker in this scheme, because he get lost back there. He got sudden quickness. He's decisive. Mike is a guy that could do everything. They really challenging him. They like, we see, at first, we didn't know about you. Now we know, and now we expect a lot because we see what you could do. But PJ, too, having a, I'm liking what I see with him.
Is that the boy from Miami?
Who, Paris?
Yeah.
No, that's Cody.
Paris from Alexandria.
Okay. Okay. I thought
the reason why I ask is because there's been some reports, like Jack, you'll do a report. And there was one, I think he wasn't even at practice. One, I think he's in like a yellow jersey, and we're just not seeing or hearing his name much. I just didn't know if he was hurt.
Yeah, that's just, he on a pitch count. So if you see him in a yellow jersey, green jersey, it's letting you know that all systems aren't really go, but it's good enough for him to get out there, do conditioning, and do some drills. So if you're missing time and guys are coming in hungry, like Cody Brown, who transferred in and is a bigger back like Ahmad is, so – that's the battle too. And then what's his name? Xavier Brown got some carries and stuff during the scrimmage as well. So yeah, man, it's a tough time. Like the fall camp, you get hurt in fall camp, boy, it's tough to get back up that mountain when guys are truly competing. So I appreciate that, Love, for pointing that out.
All right. The question from the chat came from Chris Blankenship. We're going to stick on the offensive side of the ball. He says, I know BA is a great QB. However, how is he looking as a leader? Is he stepping up and holding his offense accountable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. BA was like Aaron Brooks last year, where y'all remember when the last drive of Louisville, he was like, let's go have some fun and win this thing. But BA is a guy that, get on, guys. Come on, what you doing? Come on, man. Hold that. They got there too quick. Come on, get out your route. Come on, secure the ball. Like, so yeah, he does that. He definitely does. He's doing that. He has a chip on the shoulder. If y'all didn't hear the shout out to the ACC Network when they joined us, Eddie Royal and EJ Manuel were the analysts. And you heard what he said. I'm a 500 quarterback. I don't like that. And I'm trying to get, where Will at? Trying to get 10 wins. Shout out to Will. Will know who he is. Will be talking. Hey, man, if Will, I wish Will would come into space one day so y'all could just hear his takes, boy. Because when I tell you he be selling, he be selling.
Man, him and Jake would have one hell of a conversation.
Yes, they would. Shout out to Jake, too. But to answer the question, BA is a very good leader. This is not rose orange. These are not orange and blue glasses speaking. If he wasn't a good leader, I'd tell you. I wouldn't be like harsh about it, but I'd be like, he got some work to do. But he's been leading since last year. He's very vocal this year, though.
All right, for those of y'all that haven't been in a space with us before, we appreciate you being here. Thanks for being a part of the Ball Hawk Show community. The way this works, if you got a question, request to speak. We'll let you in. If speaking live is not your thing, there's a chat option. You can DM either myself or Ball Hawk at the same time, and we'll get your question in here. And all we're doing is talking all things UVA and athletics in general, but this is a UVA-specific podcast tonight. So I'm going to start off with another question. Ahmad, we know that our offense is probably going to lead our team, and we're going to go as the offense goes. Mm-hmm. But where is our strength this year from as far as a positional group or maybe a side of the ball that will shock people? Where do you think we're going to put a product on the field that people weren't ready for?
Oh, great question. So if I say – I can't say one position because everybody will think I'm biased. So I say the defensive front. They're going to surprise folks just why – how physical they play, the depth that they have. Keyword, the depth. You can keep guys fresh. Yeah, you keep guys fresh. You know, you got guys like Perry and Mike Green that can help rush the passer. We know what Fumui could do. I talked about Ben Smiley, and there's a couple other guys. Paul Aker too. So we have guys that could roll in and out, and it won't be a major drop-off. Not saying that we're going to set the world on fire, but I think you'll definitely be pleased with just the way they can maintain a gap integrity and allow the linebackers to do what they do. Allow Nick Jackson just to knock everybody face off, or Josh Ahern to run through there like the water boy, because that's what I call him, the water boy. He just full head of steam, screaming, mama said, and trying to hit people. But the defensive line. Because if the defensive line plays better, guess who else going to play better? The secondary. You see how I got that in there?
Imagine a DB talking about that.
You know, they say we could be divas, but hey, man, a defensive back, you're only good as your pass rush. I'm gonna tell you, because I hate one on ones because they get to sit back there and pat the ball. Receivers get to run all these Dino routes and post corner posts and stutter goals. Nah, bro, I am not Trayvon Diggs in one on one. I'm not. No, not the mama. No, you're not doing me like Trayvon. No, sir, I'm playing everything deep. You gonna catch all that.
100. All right, so one of the common themes amongst the fan base is that with the rededication to the run game, we should expect a drop-off in the passing game. However, there's another camp that says that tailors more to what BA was before when he was recruited. Like, we haven't seen BA in a system that he was recruited to be comfortable in. So now a rededication to the run game. Obviously, he put up, what, 4,400 yards last year, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Crazy numbers. Danny Neckel, listen, if you're in this space and you don't follow Danny Neckel, you're doing yourself a disjustice. That dude comes up with stats and does deep dives into UVA more than anybody else on Twitter. Give Danny Neckel, N-E-C-K-L-E, give him a follow. But for real, the question is, can we expect bigger things from BA than what we've seen? Because he's in a situation where he's got an offensive scheme that he's accustomed to.
So I just put in the Jumbotron, BA averaged 427.3 total yards per game last year. That's the best in ACC history at his position. And you think about the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd. I mean, the list goes on and on of guys who ran and threw the football. And
E.J. Manuel.
E.J. Manuel. And our quarterback has the record. So I would say this. This offense will help him become that much more efficient. Less mistakes. Shout out to Mike Glennon again. Mike Glennon pointed this out. Being more secure with the football. Not being careless, because it's going to be tailored as far as his matchups, as far as the different levels of who you're trying to hollow, the movement of the linebackers by running, you know, zone read fakes or counter fakes and getting the backers to step up the field, not just saying, oh, all they're going to do is pass the ball. So the thing that this offense is doing is showing you, you can't figure this out. It's always a threat of the run. You have to respect the run. If we feel like you're just dropping guys, we're going to be able to run the football. 4 yards a carry, three times, that's a first down. Now, you want explosive plays here and there in the running game, but you want to show, which they showed in the scrimmage, might I add, short yard situations, goal line situations. We ran the football, was successful. Not the back doing stuff on their own, meaning good push, create a gap, running backs, get skinny. Be violent. Deliver a blow. Cover up the football. Cody Brown, that's one thing I say about him. He run behind his pads. He reminds me of Jordan Ellis a little bit. We know Jordan's the last 1,000-yard rusher here in 2018. I'm not saying Cody is Jordan Ellis. I said the way that he runs the football. He don't finish like Jordan. Like Jordan Ellis was a special back. Okay, I'm going to give him his flowers. But I like how Cody finishes his runs. So that's a nice changeup. Well, all the backs that we got, it's a changeup. And we know we're missing one guy. He coming back from injury. He just got back, you know, in his pad. So to answer your question, I don't think Brendan would be as productive as yards per game. But I could see us having more than 6 wins. I could see him having less turnovers. I could see him actually having more touchdown passes. You know what I'm saying? Because we're finishing drives better. So I think this makes him more lethal, because he may see more one-on-one coverage versus all these combo zones and having to really pat the ball and find the open zone windows. So I think the run game definitely helps him out and helps him be more efficient.
And that's a really good point. I don't think people truly understand from an X's and O's standpoint how transparent UVA's offense was last year.
Mm-hmm.
To have the record and the results that we did, being as one-dimensional as we were, is astounding. I know that we get a lot of flack for being in the quote-unquote weak football conference and for whatever that is, but to have an added dimension is only going to benefit BA. And keep in mind, he's adapted. I mean, if I'm an NFL scout, I look at what the system he came out of was and what he was thrust into. And he adapted immediately. I mean, he's been nothing but successful, in my opinion, in the system he's been thrown in. Mm-hmm. And I look at that and I say, that's a player that I can coach. That's a player that I can mold. And that's a player who will dedicate himself to anything I need him to do. And that's who you want leading your team, whether it's at the high school, college, or pro level. That's a player you want. That's a man you want leading your squad. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm with you. I think this is only going to benefit BA.
Yeah, and the good thing about Coach Kitchen's offense is that it has pro layers in there to where he's under center. 21 personnel, 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends. I mean, you got double tights, and now the outside zones, like we used to see with Peyton Manning with the Colts when he used to run the outside zones with Edgerrin James all the time, and then he would pull it, and now you have one-on-one. Because one, the safeties came down, you had to declare what you were in, because now you got to bring that extra guy in the box. I'm going to tell you this. Playing UVA, if I'm an opponent, coming out, I'm playing two safety high. You got to show me you can run the ball. I know you got weapons on the outside. I'm playing two safety high. I'm not giving Brennan one safety. Why? For what? Show me you can run the ball. Or show me you could just call me up with two safety high. I don't have to come down. I don't have to declare. No. I'm playing two safety high. Whether it's two man, whether it's cover two, whether it's cover four, I'm keeping guys back. You got to show me you consistently run the football. You got to show me you consistently. Now, that's another thing about BA this year. Can you be patient? Can you methodically move the ball down the field? Because you look at our offense last year, we were big play driven throwing the football. It was big. It was big chunk plays. Whether it was to the avatar Jelani Woods up the seam, whether Wicks was catching over route off of play action. It was a lot of chunk plays, but the greats in college and the pros can methodically, what they call dink and dunk you. Take what you give them. People think dinking and dunking is easy, right? Oh, all he do is dink and dunk. He just throw mesh routes and speed outs and arrows and daggers. That's nothing. Yeah, okay. That's actually tougher because the more and more reps the defense has versus your offense, the more and more they feel like they can figure out, the more chess play comes into play. So I like this offense for what it can do for BA and what it can do for us overall defensively, because we could stay off the field if we can sustain long drives and get seven. Now those guys are well rested.
Does anyone have, if you got a question and you've already been approved as a speaker, put your hand up. We'll let you speak. If you want to speak, request to speak, microphone in the bottom left of your screen, we'll let you in, or throw it in the chat. This is a UVA fan centric space tonight. And we're talking all things UVA. Ball Hawk had the opportunity to witness the scrimmage and has been giving us his analysis. One thing I definitely want to get to, and I know you touched on it briefly, but the presence of Lavelle Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Just as no other way to say it, a presence in that wide receiver room. What does he bring? We know what he brings on the field. You know, he's got Calvin Johnson style size. He's got great speed. He's got great hands. But as someone who has sat all year last year, as someone who had an amazing freshman year, first year for UVA, what presence does he bring?
Man, let me tell you something. He brings a luxury that 2 years ago when he did play, you saw how BA sometimes would throw the alley-oop and he would just short arm it, but then would be able to actually throw it. It would turn up into the alley-oop that you wanted to see. So with Lavelle Davis missing last year, we saw the emergence of Dontavian Wicks and also the growth from Keaton Thompson at receiver, because everything happens for a reason. He's out. We got to make sure we cover it because we know Billy Kemp could play. Keaton was our football player, but now we got to treat him like a receiver. And then what is Dontavian going to do? So we saw Dontavian came out, was a top two receiver in the ACC, or three, you know, his first team all ACC. And then Keaton led us in catches. Billy Kemp is that steady, like he's that possessing receiver we have, but he's a diminutive guy. Meaning when you need a first down, you're going to look for four. Like we all know NFL groups, you got that one receiver. When you know you need to move the chains, you're going to look for that guy. And there's no knock on the other guys, but when I need a play and I got to get the party started, I'm looking for four. Because four is a matchup nightmare in the slot. Like, you're not singling four. Four going to route you up. So now you look at it with Lavelle returning. If Lavelle split out wide, you got Dontavian on the other side wide, and now you got Keaton and Billy in the slots. Now this is why running the football is important. Because you got to step out with the slots. You have to. You can't try to play in between or close and then you bail late and get out to our slots. They legit receivers. They can get the job done. So you got to go out there and cover them up. Now you the numbers favor you in the box. Now you have to execute because the issue we ran into as a defense last year, we couldn't stop nobody because we had to cover. Because we were scared that if we ain't go out there, they're going to beat us deep. So we basically play like some umbrella coverage, and now you got us outnumbered in the inside. Look at the UNC game. case in point. The BYU game, case in point. And then you start gashing us. So that's why when they say they want to make, they want more balance, they're saying, I want to create a threat with the run because we know what we have on the outside. And it could work hand in hand. We know the four weapons we got out there. 5 with Malachi, 6 with DeMeek. And let me tell you about another guy that's having a hell of a camp, Dylan Tennyson. Every time I turn around, 10 making plays, bro. I don't know how much he's going to play, but he making plays. Oh, he making plays. Maybe I'm biased because he's short like me. He making plays. Every time I turn around, I'm like, yo, who was that? Oh, that was Tennyson. So that's what I got.
Love that. So for those of you, I haven't yet figured out how to put a tweet up in the Megatron. So forgive me because I wanted to put this up there. But Danny Neckel put up a tweet that had the first year records of every head coach of UVA going back, I believe, 10 head coaches, which is luckily for us, a pretty good span.
Mike Ryan probably had the best record, didn't he?
Probably. Let me see. I'm sitting here, right? So I'll just go down it for everybody.
Okay. I think it was Grove 5-7.
He's right. Whoever that was is right. So we'll just go recent down. Mendenhall 2-10, London 4-8,
okay.
Grow 5-7. And again, keep in mind, this is their debut season, UVA football coaches. Mendenhall 2-10, London 4-8, Grow 5-7, Welsh 2-9, Bestwick 2-9, Randall 4-7, Lawrence 3-8, Blackburn 4-6, Elias 4-6, Voris 1-9, Martin 3-7. Now, for those of you that don't have a deep history of UVA football, if we're going back to Coach Martin, to only have had 10 coaches since him is phenomenal. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. Here's my fear, Ball Hawk. My fear is that the weapons and the talent that are at Coach Elliott's disposal can create an image of success in the win column and on the field that can jade fans' perspective of what success looks like for what I think can possibly be a year two drop off. He's coming into a very good situation. I would say outside of maybe Lincoln Riley and Brett Venables, Coach Elliott's walking into one of the best situations in the country. Which sets up for a year two drop off. So based on what you've seen, you know the depth, you know what we have behind what we have. Can we expect a massive drop off, or is there a lot behind what we're starting?
That's a great question right there. First of all, that is the first year records just scared the heck out of me because I'm like, God dang it. Bring you back down to reality, right? Because you're excited about the schedule.
This is where we need Will in the chat.
Yeah, facts.
This is where and Jake. Where's Jake? Yeah.
God, dog. But to answer your question, after this year, you losing BA. Dontavious can come back. He has another year. A lot of people don't think he'll come back because they had him, the 9th rated receiver, the 6th rated, something like that. That's all on ESPN. Dang. Offensive line-wise, we'd be fine because all those guys would be back. So that'll be better. Receiver-wise, drop-off, you would have to say it'll be a drop-off on paper, production-wise, because of how much this group has produced. Running back-wise, we'll see. Secondary wise, we'll be losing Clary, AJ, Bratton. But I like Jonas Sanker. I like Fentrell. I like Elijah Gaines. Linebacker wise, I like Jackson. The other Jackson, I know Nick would be gone, but I like Jackson. I like our linebackers. I think they'd be fine. So, yeah, on paper, it'll be a step back, BJ. Unless we see something this year as far as guys that are rotating, producing. But if we just going off today, if I had to bet, which season would be a drop, which season would be better. Talent wise, I would think this season would be better until I see the recruits and how guys develop. So I agree with you. It'll be a drop off on paper.
Okay. Go ahead, Coach B.
Yo, Hawk.
What up, Coach?
What up? Hey, look, got two questions. But first of all, I think you and Coach Hagans and Biscuit, y'all need to get in.
You there, Coach B?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear Coach B.
Yeah, okay. I think you and Coach Hagans need to get in the car and come check up on your old high school. Heard it ain't looking good over there.
Hey, man, we not no King Crab slander, hey, sir.
I heard they might not even have a JV this year. Y'all need to get in the car and find out what's going on.
You know what's going on. Phoebe was returning the favor. We're going to leave it at that. We're going to leave it at that.
Do with Hampton as a program, not having.
You want to take a Lake Toho Who's question that you put up there about Rawlings?
Yeah, well, Coach B's still talking. I don't know if you can hear him or not. He's still talking.
I can't hear him. I don't know if anybody else can. I hear you, but not him.
Yeah, I can hear him.
So my question is, I ain't been up there lately, but as far as last year, like are they above last year, like ahead of last year, or around the same time though?
Oh,
like,
so
are they? Development wise, are they above last year? You know what I mean? Far as, yeah, they're a step ahead of last year already.
Defensively, they are.
Defensively, yeah.
It ain't even close. Yeah. Defensively, they are. Because last year we was learning 3-3-5, so it didn't look good. I mean, I could be transparent now. I'm not going to. Yeah. Yeah.
And is they using any of these running backs out of the backfield? Like, is anybody a threat out of the backfield?
Catching? Yeah, yeah. PJ and Mike Hollins, both of them can catch out the backfield. They shifty. Especially PJ. I mean, you know, Mike Hollins started off last year returning kicks. Remember, he took a kick to the crib and got called back.
Right. PJ is the little back, right? Number two?
Number two. Trends? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, he was impressive in the spring game when he did get the chance. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nah, man. Stay off my crabbers, though, bruh. Okay.
Hey, I'll send y'all a Uber to come down here and get y'all and bring y'all back.
All right.
It's looking bad over.
Yeah, I appreciate you. BJ, who question did you have? Lake Tahoe? Lake Toho?
Yeah, dude, I said the same thing. Lake Tahoe who? Lake Toho who asked about Rawlings.
All right, so I could group Rawlings and I could group Jason because they both asking about the tight end position, which has been a very important position in any season where UVA was successful, in my opinion. So Lake talked about Rawlings. I think Rawlings is having, I think he's having a good fall. He could run block. He could catch out. I mean, he could pass catch as well. You know, a dude that always jump out to me is 44 Wood. Sackett Wood just, like, y'all remember from the spring, he was making plays. Like, here's what we got to do. We got to taper how we view the tight ends this season because we went from Poland, who was a big barbarian. Then we got, like, Antonio Gates 2.0 and Jelani Wood. So, it's tough. It's like when Bryce Hall left. And then we looked at our DBs, like, you got to change your glasses now. You got to be men in black. You got to forget about Bryce Hall when you're looking at these corners because that's how much of a luxury he was. You know what I'm saying? So looking at our tight ends now, they're a different mode. They're definitely asked to do both more than what Jelani was. Jelani was a guy that, yeah, we want him to run block, but we ain't run the ball that damn much. So he was a pass catcher. These guys are asked to do both. You got to wear two hats, catch and run block. So these guys are asked to do more than what Jelani was asked to do. Jelani's being asked to do what these guys are doing with the Colts right now. So these guys are true old school tight ends where, like the Novacek's, like you got to run block and then you got to block down 1,001 and then boom, come out on a little angle route. So it's a different type of build. And with the receivers, it's kind of different. I don't think you'll see the tight end as featured when we're in the gun as much as you did when Dr. Bob was here. So hopefully I answered y'all questions, because I think Jason said, with Woods the avatar departing for the NFL and a new scheme coming down, how much of a pass catching role? So, yeah, it won't be as much. But if they open, B.A. going to definitely get them to rock. All right, what we got? Love, what's up, man? You got your hand up. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was watching the ACC show the other night when they showcased Virginia and saw Coach Elliott out on the practice field, and I noticed how engaged he is in the practice, and I kind of wanted you to speak to that. Maybe, and I know Bronco was your boy, and you're not going to badmouth him in any way, shape, or form, but I just want you to compare and contrast, now that you've seen, you know, fall practice and spring practice, compare and contrast the two head coaches and their style on the field.
All right, that's a great question. So, first of all, I don't bash nobody unless you're a pro and you get paid. That's when I bash you, because your money is your cushion. You know, you could cry on your money. But no, seriously. So, Coach Bronco is very meticulous in his approach. He's like a machine. He's only going to speak when he feels like things are out of whack. He was celebrate and have some fun, but he was guarded. Like, Bronco is one of those guys that if you walk in the street, you're going to uphold your reputation no matter what. You're always going to do what you feel like is the right thing, because you don't want folks thinking you something that you're not. So Bronco wouldn't really let his guard down unless people that he trusts was around, and you could respect that. Tony Elliott is going to be himself. What you see is what you get with him. He's not going to hold back anything unless he feel like it's going to be a detriment to his team. But coach is going to rip whoever, whomever, whenever, wherever, don't matter who there. If you deserve to get ripped, he going to rip you. He going to challenge you. He going to let you know, hey, I've been to the mountaintop. I know what it look like, and that ain't it. But I know you could get there. Let's not get it twisted. Hey, what y'all look like, that ain't what champions look like. Let's get in this weight room. And you see the difference in how their body look. You're seeing the difference in how they work, working smarter. It's not always working hard. People always say, oh, I work hard. But if you work dumb, it don't matter how hard you work. You got to work smart too, right? You got to learn from your mistakes. So when you come out and practice the next day, Coach Wells like, Christ, either get better or get worse. You know, never want to get worse. You don't want to take a step back. You're losing ground. Even if you take a little step, you're still going forward. That's Coach Elliott. So I would say Broncos like George was, in the sense that George kept everything to himself and he would speak through his assistants. That's how Bronco was. Bronco would speak through his assistants. Tony going to speak. It could be a play going on and Tony could be ripping the whole defensive sideline, challenging him on what their brother didn't complete. Well, it's like he felt like the tackle wasn't good enough. He going to rip everybody like they did it. And it'd be three plays going on, and he's still talking about that play three plays ago, and he ripping them, and he challenging them, and he holding them accountable, and he holding the coaches accountable. He made a great statement, man. I might be telling too much inside information, but I think this people should know. Because people, I know how people think about when Bryce Hall got hurt being on punt return. He said, our special teams need to be special. And if the guys that's on special team can't get the job done, you starters going to have to play special teams. And if you think you're going to take a break on special teams, then you ain't going to get on defense or offense. Special teams got to be special. So what, you a starter? If I need you out there to make a play because it's three phases of the game, you're going to be out there. That right there let me know, like, this dude that come from Clemson. I don't want to keep saying that because I want to forget about that. He at UVA now. But you would... You know, a lot of people would think like, oh, I won, so I'm going to be all right. He know he never been a head coach. But he know what it takes to win, because when he got there, they wasn't what they were. So he come in here and we won what we used to be, not even 2019. So the fact that he's holding everybody accountable and he's always like, I'm not saying Bronco's fake, bro. I'm just saying Bronco was guarded in how he talked to everybody. Tony's going to be him. He's just a down-to-earth guy. You heard his story, former walk-on, gang-infested, coming from Cali, and getting to where he's gotten to. Starting at a HBCU, now at a Power 5 PWI, a prestigious university like UVA, understanding academics, hell, we can still win. Understanding we got to build a new facility, but hey, you better be a winner before that new facility is built. Because just because you get a new facility don't mean you're just going to start winning. I'd rather have a winner in place with that new facility. Just hearing stuff like that, man, and him just being able to just be comfortable in his own skin. And again, I'm not saying Bronco wasn't comfortable because I know people would just take every little thing. So, oh, Ball Hawk said this, so he dissing Bronco. No, I'm answering Love's question. That's the contrast. Bronco was measured, calculated, that worked for him. Elias himself.
I can back that up. I had the opportunity, it was either March or April this year, to meet Coach Elliott at the Chesapeake Sports Club. Hollywood, there was an induction ceremony, and that was very early on in his hiring. But the man that he was when I spoke to him and watched him get interviewed that day was the same man that was on ACC road trip two nights ago.
Mm.
I mean, that to me says something, because think about going from where he was to what he got hired to do. I'd be a nervous wreck. March, April of this year, man, wasn't really that long into him walking into UVA and seeing how bad it really was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so to see that man in that state of mind, knowing what he was dealing with then, to a guy who is so confident in his squad now, be the exact same man. I can't help but echo what you said about him.
That's a fact, man. And I mean, even his approach with the NIL and how he broke that down, how he communicates and being transparent about the NIL. And shout out to Low, because Low in here and what the Cavs Future is doing and just helping these young men and women build a brand appropriately with learning how to create an LLC. Everybody worry about the money grab and worry about how he can compete with the money grab. But if you're one of these blue blood type of families that work for a living, and use your last dollar to help your kid get to where they got to get to. You look at a place like UVA setting you up for success off the field, not just academically, but their approach with the NIL. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an alum here, but when you look at the way that they doing it, they building you a brand. Like, you are a brand. I used to tell young college athletes, even before the NIL, dog, you are a walking brand. You are a walking LLC. You are a business. What you put out there is what they're going to review on Yelp. So if you out here cussing and fussing and you say, well, Ball Hawk, that's not me, well, you better show who you really are, because all they get to see is when you cussing and fussing. If you on Instagram, you got all these crazy photos and all these little, like, bruh, you are a brand. We signed up for it. It's not fair. Fair involve pigs. I don't see no pigs walking around you. Ain't nothing fair about this. We signed up for this life. But with the NIL, man, just these young men just understanding, like, yo, money only come if you perform. Now, don't get me wrong. They got some of these NIL deals that I hear these guys, like the kid that just left. What's the quarterback that just left? What did he leave, LSU?
Yeah, he left LSU. He was it Ellis?
I don't know his name.
No, I don't know. But I know who you're talking about. He just left LSU.
Yeah, and apparently people was like, he still keeps his NIL money because it won't based off performance and blah, blah, blah. I don't know nothing about that. Like, again, when people sign these NIL deals that I see for all these six figures, I ain't seen nobody show that. Like, come on, man. Somebody getting paid, they going to flash that money. We saw when Debo and all of them got paid. Like, they were showing their money. Again, I be thinking his hearsay, for real. Now, I do believe the SMU one when somebody supposed to get them 32K, but good for them. That's them. If somebody, alum, want to do that for them, that's them. But do you know how to, you know, you're getting the 1099? You know how to file taxes? Oh, trust me. They're going to let you foot the bill. That's what I'm trying. Like, come on, come here. You don't want your producer all in your videos? Come to UVA. We teach how to be a brand. We teach how to fill out them 1099s, Jack. You go to H&R Block or accountant. You won't be on. You file correctly. Because you ain't pay no taxes. So don't think you're going to blow all that little money. Uncle Sam, like, hold on, partner. Let me get that.
Hey, Lo, if you're in here and raise your hand, request to speak, want to tell the fans about what you're doing and how they can support the UVA and IL, we'd love to hear from you. Ballhawk, just unless Lo wants to come up and no one has another question, closing thoughts?
Yeah, man. Yeah, Lo probably had baseball with his son. His son is a hell of a baseball player, so salute to Lo. My closing thoughts is this, man. I like what I saw with the scrimmage. It was pretty much what I expected. Oh, I wanted to talk about the atmosphere of the alums and how he had the DJ out there. And somebody asked me, like, hey, Ball Hawk, man, like, Coach Elliott got all these people around, got that music playing. That's a lot of distractions, man. Like, I would think you would want them to focus. And I looked at them dead in the eye. I said, when games take place, there's a loud music and a lot of people around. He was like, yeah. I was like, okay then. Play the way to practice. If I practice with loud noise and loud distractions, whether it's wife and kids or little cousins or recruits or old players, and you can't focus in practice, then you think you're going to focus in front of 60,000 people, and then you're going to a hostile environment when they playing music while you trying to line up and they screaming and they booing. Like, you got to be able to perform in that chaotic atmosphere. And that's why I love that he plays music loud and that he allows alum to come to practice and don't make it close and feel like, hey, we got to just be us. Hell no. You don't play no games like that. No, I want you to be used to the chaos. I want you to be used to the white noise. Now you know how to hone in the focus, like Biker Boys. You remember when Biker Boys at the start, and when he took off Lawrence Fishburne, how everything got into tunnel vision? I need to create that. So, but as far as the scrimmage, man, hold on, you got some background, DJ. There you go. As far as the scrimmage, overall, offense started well, defense adjusted, defense ended up, you know, making plays, getting picks, big hits, big stops. So it was ebbs and flows. I thought BA looked really good. I told y'all I thought the corners and the safeties played well. I like what I saw up front. The guys missed tackles, yes. Nobody plays all game and don't miss one tackle. The running backs made good cuts, yep. Pass pro, I felt like, you know, they got after Jay, and Jay just electric. He made a lot of individual plays with his legs. So offensively, offensive line, we still got work. I lied to you and said, oh, I think our offensive line, we good. No, everybody know we still got work. Hell, they just showed y'all a practice or a statement when offensive line was being held accountable. So we still are growing in that position. We're still growing everywhere. We still got to fine-tune what we learn on offense. I ain't saying if we stop today, we could just win. We still got a long way to go, in my opinion, because I expect big things. So we still got a long way to go. And Coach Elliott tell y'all that. Still got a long way to go. But I will encourage you guys, if you haven't got season tickets, get your season tickets. If you haven't got tickets to the first home game, get that. I ain't saying I got a lot of tickets, but if you fall in hard times, you be like, you need a ticket, DM your boy. I want to make sure you in the building, okay? Make sure you follow the Ball Hawk Show community. It's in the Who Vision. Which slide is it? It's the third slide. Join that community so you always be tapped in on what I'm doing with UVA football and also my podcast. I got a special announcement for this podcast. I ain't going to say that until they do the official release. I joined up with somebody new, so they're gonna let y'all know about the podcast. Big news coming up, and it's the first episode that's going on that network. So you'll know what network I'm talking about. But yeah, man, I want to try to map out. I think during the season, I think every Wednesday I'm gonna do a Twitter space like this around 6:30. So we get more and more fan interactions, answer questions, thoughts, especially on the opponents coming up during the season, things like that. And get your feedback on the fan experience doing games as well. Let me know. I know y'all want us to improve the sound system. I know that. But as far as like the intro or something, I'm not riding a horse. Salute to the new lady riding the horse. I'm never going to ride the horse. So I'm glad they didn't call me because I went up. Picked up anyway. I run in front of the horse, but I ain't riding the horse. But that's my thoughts, man. I don't want to keep rambling. It was an hour show. I appreciate y'all. This is what I wanted. Quick, fast, to the point. If you came in late, I'm going to upload this tomorrow morning, and it'll be available for you in its entirety. Salute to my bro, BJ, for co-hosting, as always, Sports with BJ. BJ, let them know how to find you and how to follow your podcast and all your endeavors, brother.
Yeah, I am Twitter and Facebook, both Sports with BJ, anchor.fm, Sports with BJ. I do cover a lot of local sports here in the 757, and that's really where my stuff is at. specifically the Southeastern and the Beach District. But yeah, I'm also all up in UVA stuff. So anywhere at Sports with BJ.
There you have it, man. Appreciate everybody that came up to be a speaker. Let everybody know that when it's a Ball Hawk space and it's UVA theme, don't be nervous about being a speaker. If you're somewhere out and about and you at dinner, use the chat. We'll get your question up in the Who Vision at the top, as you can see. And as always, man, it's Wahoo Wah. Appreciate you guys. I really thank you for your support over the years. We want to try to make sure we utilize Twitter because it allows you guys to talk with me in live action versus using characters once I release the podcast episode. But yeah, I got more on the horizon that I want to do during the week with Twitter Spaces during the year. So salute to everybody that tuned in. If you didn't tune in and you're on the Sabre or 247, come back the next time and I'll upload the spaces to those webs, to those message boards. So salute to y'all. I'm rambling now because I'm hungry. I intermittent fast and I haven't eaten yet. So thank you guys. Wahoo wah. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.